This podcast is brought to you by Fandango. Fandango offers movie tickets and gift cards to over 45,000 different screens across the United States and reaches into nearly 80% of the nation's total theaters. By partnering with virtually every leading film exhibitor like Regal, Cinemark, AMC, and more. So to pick up some movie tickets or a gift card for the movie fan in your life, head on over to cinemageekly.com/Fandango or click the support us link in the show notes for this episode.
In a world where James Franco is still considered a credible actor and Mike Busey can open a place called the Sausage Castle, one podcast will rise. One podcast will take a stand. Its hosts steadfast and strengthened by snark and snobbery. This podcast is Cinema Geekly.
Time for the Cinema Geekly Podcast, episode 193. It's Anthony Lewis, Glenn Beauvais, and we were just talking off-podcast about, well, not only the Robert Pattinson Batsuit, which we were both pretty meh about, so there's that conversation for everybody, but we were both pretty stoked if the story is based off of The Long Halloween, so which it might be. I think there's been some set photos and stuff or whatever, a bunch of set shit was leaked onto Twitter, and at least one or two of the settings, there were like pumpkins everywhere and stuff, or jack-o'-lanterns or whatever, people were thinking that it might be based at least around that story. I don't think they're probably gonna do that story exactly. I think Matt Reeves said he wasn't going to do anything that was a direct adaptation of anything, but
yeah, I know he said that he was going to use some, like, he, whenever he was first saying he was going to write it, he said he wanted to do more noir, so, you know, something similar to storylines like, you know, Long Halloween, and I think he even said Hush, but like certain ones where it's more of like a mystery.
Yeah,
I think he even said Black Mirror, which is whenever Dick Grayson is Batman. Mm-hmm. So
we were kind of just barely vaguely talking about the next Fast and the Furious movie. I'm really excited for this movie because I think we found out that John Cena is playing Vin Diesel's brother.
He's this younger assassin, streetcar, high performance vehicle driving younger brother. Yes.
I mean, because when I see those two standing next to each other, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see it. They could be related, sure.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing with Vin Diesel is, like, he's supposed to be many races. And John Cena is not that.
So. No, he is not. John Cena has one ethnicity, and it is East Coast American.
I'm
so excited for that movie. Those movies lost me after like the second one or something, before they became superhero movies where the superpowers are cars. But I got into it when I watched Hobbs and Shaw last year. And now I want to go back and start watching when the movies became superhero movies.
Yeah, it slowly starts with Five, the first one that The Rock is in.
Yeah.
But it's still like they still used practical effects. Like they still like when they show the bank vault being dragged down the highway, like they legitimately drag a bank vault down the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also heard that there's like all sorts of people from a lot of the previous movies are going to make an appearance. Apparently some guy from Tokyo Drift or something is going to be in this movie. They're acknowledging all of this past canon. This might be the Infinity War of the Fast and the Furious.
Hey, Universal's got to be making money, right? Hey, at least it's an original franchise that started with people robbing essentially Circuit City trucks coming from Mexico that were carrying DVD VHS combo players. And I don't know what aged the worst in that sentence, but
yeah, it might be the DVD VHS combos. I don't know.
Or Circuit City.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's one of those two for sure. I don't know. I'm pretty excited for that. First time in a while that I can say that I've got a Fast and the Furious movie on my list for things to see this year. Well,
they're,
I guess,
so stupid.
They are.
They're so stupid.
Dumb and fun.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple of movies that might even fit into those.
Yeah.
Not, characterizations that we're
not completely
talk about.
Unfair.
They're not the first couple of movies that I had on my list. I still haven't seen the Gentleman, nor have I seen The Last Full Measure yet, which both came out before this. Although Last Full Measure, I think, was made like last year, got one of those runs on the on the old movie pageant circuit, where they just get shown to a bunch of screening audiences, and I don't know if it won any awards or not, but I think it may have even had like a digital release or something before it got a full release in theaters this year. So I'm counting it as a 2020 release because it did get a theatrical release. I haven't seen those yet, but we both did see Birds of Prey, which is the latest addition to the DC expanded universe, or whatever they're calling it. And what did you think of it? Well, did you, when you saw it, was it Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey, or was it still Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn?
Both.
Okay.
So the ticket was the Birds of Prey, Fantabulous, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
The, I guess the marquee sign for each theater just said Harley Quinn.
Gotcha.
But some of them did say, no, actually, that's wrong. They said Birds of Prey, but then the next time that we went in, when we saw the Sonic, the next one we're going to talk about, they all said Harley Quinn.
Huh. Yeah, they made a name change.
So they're doing the Edge of Tomorrow, where it was Edge of Tomorrow, then it was Live, Die, Repeat.
Repeat, yes. We'll talk about the name in a little bit, because I think this whole thing was silly, but go ahead. Tell me what you thought of the movie. Then I'll go, and then we'll talk about how it performed after the fact.
Well, it's because everyone's sexist, but I guess Warner Bros. Doesn't want to pull a Disney card and say everyone's sexist. But speaking of which, you know, Bob Iger stepping down today.
That's right. Bob Iger stepped down from Disney as the CEO. Some other guy whose name I don't remember.
Bob Chapek.
Is that who it is?
I think so.
Was he just another dude sitting at the table, and then he got?
Yeah, he was in charge of the parks. So,
ah, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have more whimsy in our Star Wars and Marvel movies going forward.
Well, the thing is that Bob Iger wants to focus on the creative side, so
the business
was getting in the way of that. So,
yes.
So I guess parks guy is more numbers or whatever. Anyways, who gives shit? Birds of Prey. I liked it. Like, it was fun. I liked the action set pieces. I liked that it was more practical stunt-based stuff. I was surprised how much she was on roller skates, but, I mean, that stuff was fun. I liked the cast altogether. I thought they played well off of each other. I thought Ian McGregor was great because he's just completely hamming it up with eyeliner and looking beautiful and not doing a terrible French accent.
Yes.
Granted, his accent, this wasn't, it was definitely faded, but it was fine. He was charismatic enough that I didn't really care. I liked the little twist that they did with him and Zaz, where they're kind of lovers, but, you know, of course they can't be.
No.
I didn't like Zaz, like the actor, because I think the guy in Gotham's awesome. But,
yeah, I've seen a lot better portrayals of Victor Zsasz. Yeah,
yeah, but I liked the dynamic that they played with between them. But no, on that, I mean, I thought it was fun. I thought it was solid. It reminded me a lot tonally of Shazam, just a way more blood.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I liked it. I'm glad it wasn't like 4 hours long. It's like under 2 hours. You got in, you got out, yes. Got on with your life. Like it was solid. Nothing incredible, game changing. And still like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good. I wish Huntress Mary Elizabeth Winstead had more screen time.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, like I said, other than that, I thought it was solid.
That was my big thing about, or one of my big things about this movie. I thought this was better than the trailer let on, for sure.
Yeah, the marketing for it is what they had a problem. Like you know, you mentioned the name thing. It's just, it felt like they couldn't pick a lane.
Yeah.
And I think some of that might've been that Margot Robbie was a producer and helped write the script. And I'm sure some of it is like her own ego, but then also, you know, she definitely wanted to market as like a group movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably should have just done it as like, it's her movie with these people.
Yes. In it.
And they probably would have gotten a better return. And I think it's just, you know, again, the trailers, none of the trailers made it look good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. And, you know, it's like they try to show you a little bit of everything, but it just looked like a big old mess. But when you watch it, it's like, oh, okay, this all works well, you know. Yeah. And even the one thing that was didn't make sense, they played it off as a joke as to why it didn't make sense. So
I mean, the trailer looked pretty bland to me, but
yeah,
in watching the movie, I thought there was a lot of really great visuals. And some of the shots and everything, there was just a lot of great, as you noted, set pieces, and there were a lot of great action scenes, and it was definitely better than the trailer let on. That being said, I still didn't think it was great or anything. Like in the pantheon of the DCEU movies, this is probably makes the top five easily, but that's because the movies below it are, you know, Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad and things like that. So it's not a particularly high bar to clear. I do think I liked pretty much, like, I'm pretty sure I liked Man of Steel, Shazam, Aquaman, Wonder Woman more than this. Mostly because this was sort of, outside of the visuals and outside of Margot Robbie's performance, because I think she did and continues to do a very good job with this character. But outside of that, the story was pretty forgettable, I thought.
It was a MacGuffin.
Yeah, just and it was like that and nothing more. Like, they didn't make the MacGuffin particularly important. And
well, what's weird is like
diamond.
Yeah, the diamond, but it has all the money on it, right?
Yes.
And it's like, so they all talk about this, and they talk about it in front of Bertinelli, and she just doesn't ever care about getting her fortune back. And that's what I thought was a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I get it. You're supposed to be past this. You got your revenge. But it is weird that you never acknowledge that, like, you have a chance to get your family's fortune back.
Yeah.
And that, you know, could have caused, like, I think that.
Care. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, well, I mean, like, with the way the movie could have ended or whatever, like, that's a good way of, like, the only way I could put it is like a split off, and then the next one can be a versus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So then it really becomes like, you know, she even, you know, at the end, it's like, those are goody two shoes. She's still bad. But then it's like, oh, you know, we still got to get Huntress's money back from Harley Quinn. And then, you know, Harley Quinn can pair up and we can do the Poison Ivy thing that everyone thought this movie was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the good girls versus the bad girls, you know, as simple, you know, as that can be as a denominator, but, you know, still something fun.
Yes.
And that was like my thing with this movie. I thought a lot of it was fun. Like you said, the plot, I never really cared. At least the MacGuffin was somewhat character based. Like, the reason why you have the MacGuffin is because you got this little brat teenager who just likes to steal things. And
yes, who, you know, grow up one day to become Batwoman, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently. But no, I thought it was, you know, like I said, I thought it was solid. I didn't think it was groundbreaking. I love the whole funhouse action set piece. I just think that was a lot of stuff. Fun.
Yeah.
Like the way they did the choreography or the slingshot with the roller skates, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I just thought that it was a well made movie. It was like the superhero version of 1917. I liked everything outside of it, but man, I really didn't give a shit what was happening in the movie. It was just pretty.
I liked I mean, I like I said, I liked Margot's performance, but this really should have been, from the get-go, marketed as the Harley Quinn movie. Saying yeah. Birds of Prey is really a misnomer, because the Birds of Prey, even at the end of the movie, they're like, we're the Birds of Prey, and we've opened our own thing, and Harley is not with them. Harley is not a bird of prey, and this is Harley's movie, and the Birds of Prey are just kind of in it. So that was a complete misnomer, which is why I think eventually they decided to do the Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey tagline or title for the movie. I mean, it's weird. It's like Birds of Prey, and then like the poster is just Harley Quinn front and center and everybody else is way in the back. I don't know why they marketed it like this, but so another thing aside from all of that, as it relates to fitting into this universe, so they definitely didn't pretend that nothing else in this universe existed. So they didn't pretend Suicide Squad didn't happen, or Batman v Superman or any of that stuff. Those things still exist in this world, but they kind of just gloss over them quickly enough that I think the intent here was that you wouldn't dwell too much on the fact.
No, kind of like Shazam, you know?
Yeah, like, don't think about it too much. Like, we know those movies are there, but, you know, it'd be better if you just didn't think about it. You know, at the end of the day, I thought it was fun, but, you know, I'm debated on whether or not I would call this a solid installment into the universe they've been creating. It feels like it should be, but I wasn't that impressed with the movie at the end of the day. But on the other hand, Glenn, it's a pretty low bar, the installments in this franchise. So far, it's like Wonder Woman, and then it's a big gap, like, to, like, Aquaman and Shazam and Man of Steel and stuff. It's just a wide gap between the movies for me in this thing. So, at the end of the day, I think it was fun, but ultimately pretty forgettable. Like, this is not something I don't think I'll be going back to in 2021 when we do our best of 2020 show about, you know, what led, and it won't be on the worst of list either. It was just there.
Does Suicide Squad come out this year? Or is it next year?
I believe it is this year. I think
I'm
it
just
is
curious.
This year. I'd have to check my list. I do have a list. It might not be this year. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's next year. So it might be next year that Suicide Squad 2 is coming out. I thought it was this year for some reason, but I guess maybe it's not. James Gunn seems pretty excited about it on the internet, but...
Well, him and Matt Reeves both. It's like every time Matt Reeves got something, he just... I kind of like it, because to me it seems like it's more of a, hey, things are going to get spoiled. Why don't I just be the one to show it first?
Yes. That's a good approach, I think.
Yeah. I like the way that he, like, shows a still, like, you know, whenever he had, mm-hmm. what's his name, John Turturro, and he just used, like, stills from Big Lebowski. So, I mean, I like that. I like the way he's doing it.
What would you give Birds of Prey real quick?
Like a 3. You know, I thought it was completely, you know, down the road. There's things I liked. You know, I didn't think it was terrible. I didn't think it was amazing. I think it's got good bones. Like, I'm fine if they want to, I mean, we'll see how it is financially, but if they want to make sequels to this, but kind of, you know, like, trim the fat a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Birds of Prey side of things is going to go anywhere, but I think it, I don't know. I think with Harley Quinn, I think she can have a franchise. I don't think it's, you know, people like Margot Robbie. And, you know, I think the movie's still going to make its money. It's not like the budget was crazy high or anything. I don't think they should have tried to go after the February release date. I think that was, it's just, you know, I know with Deadpool, but that was different. I mean, I don't think you could have asked for a better marketing ploy than what happened with Deadpool. I mean, you leak a thing and then basically get enough of a groundswell to force a studio to make something. I mean, that, you know,
Yeah.
I don't think you, everyone should look at like, hey, Black Panther made a shitload of money. Deadpool made a shitload of money. Valentine's Day. That's the new off summer release date. Like, I don't think you should approach it that way.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at it real quick, because this really underperformed.
Yeah.
I think it's in its third week now, and it did 6 million. I think it dropped 60% in its third week. I don't think it's cracked 200 million worldwide, which is very bad for movies like this. This has led to a lot of people asking why this did not perform very well. Glenn, do you have any theories as to why you think it didn't do particularly well?
Yeah, like I said, I just think the trailer, no one was excited to see this. Mm-hmm. And I think they really should have promoted more of Harley Quinn and Ian McGregor as far as like the lead and the bad guy, you know. And just would have, you know, and just been like, oh yeah, this, you know, the Birds of Prey are in it. And I just, you know, even with the title, they just tried to have it both ways, and I think they should have just gone with the Harley Quinn lane. I mean, if the reason why you're making is because of the one bright spot in that shit show that was Suicide Squad, it was her, you know, mm-hmm. then why wouldn't you choose your marketing strategy to be doubling down on that success, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I get why they didn't do it, because, you know, it seems like Jared Leto's like on the verge of killing himself because of how many people are making fun of him for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Especially well, hopefully now, like, that doesn't Joaquin happen. Phoenix. No, but I mean,
did Joaquin,
like,
Phoenix make fun of him?
No, no.
Oh,
it's
because
just people,
of his portrayal. Gotcha.
Yeah, people just keep like sending him stuff like, hey, look, all these other guys have been nominated or won an Oscar. You didn't. And I know he's like, and I know he's talked about it, because he's like, please stop sending me this shit. Like,
that's unbelievable.
I know it's really bothered him. But anyways,
I feel bad for him. His Joker was terrible, but. You know, yeah. Whatever, you move on. It's okay.
So I wish this movie would have poked more fun at Suicide Squad or the other ones. Like,
yes.
You know, because she's the bad guy, right? You know, I think you can explain away the office politics of just like, yeah, Batman, he sucks. Superman, he's lame. Like, you could have just made fun of what these people did. Or,
sure.
Or, you know, or just her making a joke of like, you know, people say I'm the bad guy, but all I did was blow up a chemical company that keeps putting shit into the air and, you know, can mess with your brain. Whereas, like, you know, Superman destroyed half of Metropolis and he gets a statue after when he, like, you know, like, yeah. You could have just done stuff like that, especially if the whole point is turning the wheel a little bit.
You could
on,
have fun, yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, Shazam kind of had fun with some of it a little bit. And that's what I mean. It's like, I feel like if they would allow themselves to make fun of themselves more,
yeah.
And have something like that in the trailer, like, I think that would have sold it more. Cause it's just, you know, Lego Batman did the same thing. Like, it makes fun of itself. And,
yep.
I think in a movie like this, you can do that. I mean, Deadpool again, kind of, you know, mostly surface level humor, but makes fun of itself in a way and, or things of its genre. And I think that's where, when people say like, oh, this could have been the girl's Deadpool. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think there are strings to it. I mean, I called it like John Wick, but for ladies, because the practical, like, I thought all the stunts were good. The fight scenes were awesome.
Yep.
Ian McGregor getting blown up at the end with a grenade. I thought that was as abrupt as it was like, oh shit. Like, he just,
that's
got
a way to go.
Flattered.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that kind of stuff. That was fun. I wish they would have taken more jabs, not just at themselves, but, you know, you could have done a little bit more fourth wall breaking in that regard, but, you know, it was fine. Again, I get why you can't do it, but at the same time, I wish you could or would.
I don't even remember if I gave my score. I think I gave it 3.25.
Okay. So you gave it more than me.
Yeah. Just a hair, but yes. Ultimately, I think, and also I agree with you about the marketing. I think that's the major contributor to why this did not do that well. The trailer was not very representative of the final film, and, you know, they marketed it as a, they didn't market it as a Harley Quinn movie. which is weird because that's all this was. And I think there's probably a small role to play in the fact that, while there are plenty of people on the internet who definitely agree that Harley Quinn was the best part of Suicide Squad, I think there's a much larger audience out there that watched that movie and just hated it. And this is seen as a, if not a direct sequel to, but a spinoff from that movie. And that's just a toxic movie. Like, it's just, it wasn't very good. Nobody really liked it. And this is tied to it. So I think that played a smaller role, but ultimately I just think the marketing, I don't know how they bungled it so bad, but they did. A movie like this should not have done this bad. It's clearly they're looking at this like, okay, Wonder Woman did great. Captain Marvel did great. This movie should do really good too. And
I don't think they made a bigger deal. I mean, like, I guess because that's kind of what they're doing with Wonder Woman, but like, you know, it was, I think, an all female written script, a female director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those, I mean, I'm just saying, in today's world, those are kind of the things that you make a big deal about to sell.
Sure.
And also have it be good. I mean, you could say the same thing. That's what they try to do with Charlie's Angels, but like Charlie's Angels, like,
oh yeah, the movie has to be good still. That's a,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
It can't be a bad,
and then you can celebrate it, you know. Yeah. But it's just, yeah, I know. I don't know why they didn't release it more into the spring. I'm sure, you know, it being rated R hurts as well.
Mm-hmm. Those are all little things for sure.
But no, I just, like you said, the trailer. I mean, yeah, Suicide Squad was terrible. I do think it was just the trailer. People are like, I have no idea what is going on, and
interesting. Yeah, I mean, when I saw it, I was like, eh. Like, I knew it
Whereas
was going
to you can make
it.
The same thing to segue into our next movie, like Sonic the Hedgehog. Terrible press.
Oh,
but
my
in a
goodness.
Way, it probably helped itself because whenever they, you know, did the right thing and changed it to not look terrible.
Yes.
I'm sure, you know, I think it outperformed slightly, not much. I think they were thinking 55 instead of 65 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure a lot of it, you know, is just like, hey, look at this new trailer. Oh, man, it looks so much better. Whereas I guess maybe didn't see the feedback like that for Birds of Prey.
Yes.
So
let's talk about Sonic. So let's leave 2020. Glenn, let's transport back to the wondrous age that was the 90s, because that's kind of what this movie hedged on 90s, pun intended, I guess, on 90s nostalgia, but not in like a Stranger Things kind of way. Like, this movie was set in the modern day, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
This was not set in the 90s, full of 90s things, but it's still relied on 90s nostalgia in its in a lot of ways. But what did you think of Sonic?
I didn't think it was very good.
Okay. Me either. The way you were talking about it made me think like, oh boy, I think he really ended up enjoying this, and I really didn't.
No. I will say, huge caveat, I thought it was a fine kid movie.
Yes.
Like I like Detective Pikachu a lot. Now, mm-hmm. I will say almost all of this because pure nostalgia, and I got to see real life Pokemans.
Yes.
Yes. But Sonic, it was like a little kid movie. And juxtapose that to like Jim Carrey being like I thought Jim Carrey was fine in it, but like his performance, yeah, he was goofy, but like he, like some of his lines and what he's doing is like, oh, he just wants to create mass genocide. Now, I know that's like Dr. Robotnik's thing.
Yeah.
Is, you know, he enslaves animals to run his machines. Yeah. Yes. You know, I know that's part of the lore.
Yes.
But seeing it in like the tone of like an actual kids movie and not a platform side scrolling video game.
Yes.
Are two different things.
Yes. I mean, video game adaptations to film, this is like a secret passion of mine, something that I really want to see happen. Because I know, I've played the games. I know there are good stories out there that could be adapted into good movies. I know this is possible. This is one of those things. Sonic the Hedgehog is obviously 90s nostalgia because that was peak Sonic during those years. That's when the games were, I think, probably at their most popular. Pretty sure the cartoons, or at least one of the cartoons, came out in the 90s.
Yep.
I think that was the peak popularity for Sonic. It's still popular, but its peak popularity was then, and I think it's sort of reaching out to those 90s kids to be like, you remember that, and they're adding on top of it Jim Carrey, but they're like, dude, you gotta be like The Mask plus Ace Ventura in this movie. And he's like, okay, so you've got like 1990s Jim Carrey in a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So to me, like, that's where your 90s nostalgia is coming from. Everybody remembers those Jim Carrey movies. Everybody remembers playing Sonic. And it's worked out for them because the box office has turned out fairly well for it. But Sonic is one of those video games, and I think of all video games as art, but Sonic came out at a time before there was a lot of storytelling in games, and Sonic was less about story and more about gameplay, just like Super Mario Brothers, where there is a very thin story that exists solely for you to just have something at the end of the level. And that's all Sonic was. Now, I guess I should give them props, Glenn, because this Sonic the Hedgehog movie was essentially a direct adaptation of the 2D side-scroller. Very thin plot and story in those games, and same for this movie. It's essentially the same thing. Dr. Robotnik wants to take over the world, and Sonic uses his speed to stop him and save everybody. The end. That's kind of, I mean, he also runs
and transports into, to different worlds with rings.
With rings, yes. Which is something that also happens in at least some of the games. Although those are just bonus levels to collect Chaos Emeralds. But, which was not the point of the ring travel in this. But, you know, he also hangs out with James Marsden, and there's comedy, and the comedy is mostly not that great.
That's what you want to call it? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, it's a kid's movie, but not the kind of kid's movie where, at least I, as an adult, I couldn't sit there and enjoy it, really.
No.
Like, I used to love those Jim Carrey performances. I love The Mask. I love those Ace Ventura movies. But at some point, it just, that kind of comedy stopped being my thing.
And, well, even like the scene with the baseball. Like, that's a joke that would have happened in a 90s movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sonic playing baseball by himself. Like, everything just seemed so dated.
Yes. And I think that was all done on purpose, which means, begs the question, why didn't they just set this in the 90s? But they essentially made a 90s direct to DVD movie type thing. I mean, that was in my notes. Yeah. Aside from calling Jim Carrey Mask Ventura. But this was essentially 90s nostalgia of a 90s kids movie. Like, there's a lot of that in there, and it worked a little bit. Like, it's cool to see Sonic realized like this, but that's kind of where it ended for me. And I'm not really sure you could really do a different story anyway and make it all that compelling or good.
This was always going to be a kid's movie. You have Knuckles and Sonic try to kill each other.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yes. And Tails,
which we kind of had in the beginning.
Tails does appear at the end of the movie in a...
Oh, and so does Knuckles.
Did Knuckles appear? I didn't see Knuckles.
He's in the beginning of the movie.
Wait, what? I did not see Knuckles.
Yeah, that's Knuckles' clan that kills the owl lady.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's probably the one who shot the arrow.
Look, at the end of the day,
I mean, I don't know if Knuckles is in it, but his race was in it.
James Marsden, he tried his best, I guess.
Hey, he got a paycheck out of this.
He sure did. You know? I thought Ben Schwartz was fine doing the voice of Sonic. But it was just, you know, if you are just a diehard for Sonic the Hedgehog, like you love everything Sonic, you'll probably have a good time at the movie.
Also, I don't know why they didn't play Going at the Speed of Sound while running down the streets of San Francisco. I mean, what the hell?
For me, my favorite part of the movie was the Sega logo at the beginning.
Yeah, with the very, the rings and stuff. That was cool.
The very grandiose Sega noise and everything. But this is a movie for absolute diehard Sonic fans. And in the notes here, I wrote kiddos who have never seen a movie before. Because I think
you're not wrong.
I think there's even some kids who would watch this and be kind of bored by it.
Oh so, man, this movie's gonna live on cable until the end of time.
This is definitely a cable movie. Absolutely. What did you end up giving Sonic the Hedgehog?
I don't know. Like a 2.5.
Yeah, I'd give it 2.5 as well.
Average. I mean, the motion seats that I saw it in were kind of cool. You know, the final fight scene.
Oh, yeah, tell me about the D-Box. So Glenn says he went to see this in a D-Box theater, which is like you've got chair movement, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like a motion simulator.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because I didn't really care to see Sonic, but it was kind of like, oh, you know what? This movie theater that we're by, you know, since we moved, has it. I'm like, well, you know what? Let me see how much it is. And it was like maybe $2 more a ticket. And I'm like, hey, do you want to just see Sonic in these seats? And, you know, my wife was like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that the action was so infrequent kind of sucked. But anytime he's like rolling around, I mean, you're just like moving up and down and side to side and shifting. And I mean, that part was cool.
Yep.
So I guess maybe think probably in the moment, maybe raise the score of the movie. But. Yes. You know, like I told you, like when I see Fast and the Furious, like I'm gonna sit in the seats.
Oh man. So,
like I don't know about anything else, but like that movie specifically, anytime there's gonna be like Ford v Ferrari, like anything that's gonna have like racing in it,
yes,
you bet your ass I'm getting in them damn seats. So other than that, yeah, definitely if you're gonna see Sonic, I know it's kind of fun. I don't know if it's necessarily worth it, but you know, that sequence at the beginning was good, and then at the end it was definitely sweet. Last like 20 minutes.
It did set the record for video game movie opening weekend. I think it did. Did you say what it did? I don't remember.
I think it was like 65.
Yeah, I think it did 65 million opening. No, it says domestic opening 58.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Maybe it did more than that. I don't know. Box Office Mojo might not be the best place.
Well, it just depends on if they wanted to count earlier in the week, you know.
It depends on when they're counting the. Yeah. It's possible
because it's President's Day weekend, you know. So
It's possible it could have done in that 65 for sure. It's sitting at over 200 right now worldwide, and it's only in its second week. It's number one again in its second week.
This movie made more money than Birds of Prey, and that is sad.
Yeah, because Birds of Prey is definitely better than Sonic the Hedgehog. The Harrison Ford CGI dog movie came in second place, and I want to see that as well, but holy moly. Have you seen what the reported budget is for it?
Nuh-uh. Oh my god. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, it's like 120 million or something.
135 million.
And yeah, that's not accounting for the marketing. And it made 25 million its opening weekend.
Oh, well, Disney, I guess you can take the loss.
Did you have to make a CGI dog?
Yeah, because of, you know, animal rights.
I guess, but
you're not going to put a real dog through the things that happened in that movie.
No, I guess you wouldn't, but could you do a CGI dog for like the dangerous stuff, I guess, but you know, like the rest of it, just have a normal dog.
Yeah. But I think the back and forth probably would have made it look goofy.
Goofy. It still looks kind of goofy, honestly, but
yeah, but at least it's consistent. Not like going from real fur to fake fur every other scene.
Yes. So also on the video game scale, apparently, at least Rotten Tomatoes, as far as they're concerned, Sonic the Hedgehog is now the second best video game adaptation film of all time, according to critic scores, with the first being Detective Pikachu. For a little bit there, Sonic was outpacing them, but more negative reviews came in and lowered the final score. So I do believe Detective Pikachu is ahead of Sonic the Hedgehog in terms of best reviewed video game adaptations of all time, which that's a bummer, but eventually somebody will crack the code. I don't know what reviewers thought when they saw this.
You got to do a mini series. Like, I know there was always like rumors they were going to make like a BioShock movie or Halo, and I just think, you know what?
They're definitely better suited.
Miniseries.
Definitely better suited for miniseries or television. The Witcher on Netflix. I mean, while not directly adapted from the game, because it was adapted from the books, which the games also adapted. But to be fair, Henry Cavill's Geralt of Rivia is essentially just doing the voice of the character from the games. And also they heavily aped the look of many of the characters and everything from the game as well. So it's kind of an adaptation of the game, and it was very good. I enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun. So maybe that is the venue for video games. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about how much I'd like to see Uncharted or Mass Effect or Horizon Zero Dawn or The Last of Us or things like that that I think would make for good adaptations. But ultimately, I think they do better television shows or miniseries or whatever.
Because games are long. I mean, they're like 8 hours, you know.
Yeah, some of them much longer than that, depending on the game. So yeah,
I mean, Tomb Raider will work. I mean, those, you know, first two made a shitload of money.
Yeah, and
so
the Alicia Vikander one also did okay. And
yeah, I thought the movie was fine.
There's supposedly a sequel in the works for that. I did not realize.
Oh, really?
I was just as surprised. I did not think it made enough money to warrant one, but
yeah,
I guess it did. Is there anything else to talk about? I don't really know if there is.
I'm just trying to think of what would be like the next cool movie to be made off of a video game.
You know, where they're always, movie makers are going to be always behind on that sort of thing. So it's hard to say, but they're going to look at what's popular first. And I would expect a Call of Duty or a Fortnite game movie thing, or,
you know, we already had that. I mean, Fortnite's just Ready Player One, isn't it?
Fortnite's really more like, I mean, they could do something like that with it, but honestly, like, Fortnite's just more like Hunger Games, just a Battle Royale game, so, or Battle Royale, for that matter, the movie. That's essentially all they really are, but I'm sure somebody will try to take those and turn them into something. You know, the franchises I previously mentioned, like Uncharted or Last of Us, anything Naughty Dog has done recently, or Guerrilla Games has done recently, I think would make for good
Crash Bandicoot, the movie.
That wouldn't surprise me, although I feel like they've missed the window on that one. But I mean,
what's a Bandicoot?
I'm amazed they haven't gone back to Mario and tried to do like a Mario thing for I figured Nintendo would be a little more involved this time, but
yeah, get Baz Luhrmann to make it. It'll be super pretty.
That'd be incredible.
You get to take acid before you go watch it.
Holy cow. I mean, I know for a fact there's stuff that they could pull and try to do stuff with. I know they tried to do stuff with Warcraft that didn't quite pan out.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a lot of stuff in there that you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like something that it's got to be pretty bare bones. You're not going to get caught up in trying to like respect the lore.
Yeah.
You know, something that's a little more linear.
A lot of people have said like, well, you know, the joy of video games is not watching them. It's interacting with them. And you can never recreate that in a movie. So people have used this to theorize that there will never be a good adaptation of a video game to a movie, which I just disagree with. I think the proof is in the pudding with comic books. People for years were like, you guys, there's so much stuff to put. There's like this treasure trove of stories in comics. And if the right person adapts one of these, they can be a great movie. And for years, people just pshawed them, like, that's never going to happen. And eventually, people started cracking the code, and now comic book movies are the new Western. And in fact, there's probably too many of them that are made, but for the most part, the quality of them is pretty good because people just figured out, you know, here's how you do it. You just pretty much adapt them. Like, the stories are already pretty good, and don't try to fiddle with the characters too much and just give them what they read on the page, but turn it into something they can see in live action. And for the most part, that's really worked out pretty well. I think it's just a matter of doing that with video game stories as well. So, I mean, they've had opportunities already, like with the Assassin's Creed movie, which I thought for sure had all the tools they needed. They had a big name attached to it. All of the talk going into it was really good, but then you run into that sort of stuff, like with that movie, where they were like, there was some budgetary restraints, so instead of focusing on the past, we focused on the future stuff, which is, you know, ask any Assassin's Creed player, and they'll tell you the most boring part of the game is when you're doing that, and the fun stuff is when you're actually back in time doing whatever it is that you're doing. So they sort of made a reverse Assassin's Creed game, put it out as a movie, and it wasn't very successful. So it's just a matter of the right person getting the right property with the right vision, as it is with most things, but I'm sure it'll get there with video games eventually. I don't know. Is there anything else? Are you going to, you planning on going to see anything soon? I'm not sure what's coming out soon. The Invisible Man, I think, is coming out soon.
Yeah, probably not gonna see it. I mean, I was intrigued, but I feel like I know how this. I feel like the trailer. I know what I'm gonna see in this movie.
Yeah.
So I like the. I mean, I like the premise of it, but it is like. I mean, I know Invisible Man existed before this, but it's literally just Hollow Man, because the whole point of Hollow Man is he like stalks his ex. So, yes. It's, or it's like, okay, yeah, they're like, oh yeah, this new premise to Invisible Man. It's like, well, no, the movie that ripped you guys off without having to pay the rights, that's like what you're doing. No, I don't even know if there's anything in March coming out that I want to see.
It's looking pretty quiet for the most part.
Bond's like the next one I want to see, but that's just because I really want to know if the I don't think their last name's Broccoli, but it's something like that. The family that owns James Bond.
Yes.
I know they're pretty like stern on what you can and can't do. So it's weird that they hired a guy who's like, no, you're just going to let me do my thing or I walk away. I don't give a shit.
Yes.
And a guy who like doesn't like to make stylized violence when he uses, you know, as we have seen in his TV shows and other movies like Beasts of No Nation, like, no, violence is a tool. And when I use it, you need to know that it's awful and we shouldn't do it to one another. So yes. I am just super intrigued with how this movie's going to pan out.
Yeah,
so,
I'm excited to see it as well. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on the in between now and then that, unless the release dates have changed, there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, well, this could either be good or really bad. Like Godzilla versus Kong, I think comes out in between now and then.
Oh, I thought James Bond came out in April. Does it not come out in April?
No, I'm going to have to go look. Normally I make my lists near the end of 2019 and then there's a lot of, shifting. I'll have to go look because right now No Time to Die opens before Black Widow but after New Mutants, but
April 2nd, yeah. So I mean that's like a month away, or April 10th, but so
unless the release date's changed, Godzilla versus Kong comes out before then, so maybe
it comes out in like a couple weeks. Really?
Maybe it's changed. It's possible.
I could have sworn it was November is when
they did move it way back.
No, I mean, I think it's always been, I mean, really? Cause there's, yeah, it's November 20th. Yeah.
Super
I mean,
weird. Yeah.
Be aware that we've never had a trailer for it and it comes out in a couple weeks.
Yes. That is super strange that it is listed there. Like I said, November 20th. Yeah. When I go to fill out when I start putting my list together for 2020, I normally go in about November, December of 2019. I just go to the Wikipedia page for film in 2020 and they've got a long list of movies by month with release dates, and I just go month by month and date by date, and I just, you know, pop things into the spreadsheet or whatever, so I can keep an eye on what's coming out when. And yeah, there's Godzilla versus Kong, like, you know, way before November, for sure. I'm gonna have to go back and take a look at that list. You know, Wikipedia, not always the most trustworthy of tools. Let that be the lesson.
I know they moved it a long time ago, so maybe it just hadn't updated. Possibly, I guess the Quiet Place, huh? I mean, I guess
the sequel to the Quiet Place that is coming up soon. Yes.
Onward, which is that Disney. I guess, yeah, maybe I'll see it.
Yep, there's some stuff.
Maybe I'll probably see it. But
New Mutants, is that still scheduled to come out before No Time to Die, or has that been moved as well? I know that's been moved a bunch of times.
I think that one's in April, so yeah. I'm pretty sure that it's set in stone this time to come out then. Okay, I do want to see that terrible-looking Vin Diesel movie where he gets shot and, like, his blood comes back to form his body like one of the Terminators.
Oh, man. What is this called?
Bloodshot. It's called Bloodshot.
Bloodshot.
I want to fucking see that movie.
It is what it is, right there.
I'm also really curious to watch the Chris Rock Saw movie.
Oh yeah, I've heard about
Spiral.
That.
Like, that looks. Yeah. I don't know if it's gonna be good, but it's interesting that Chris Rock produced a Saw movie with Sam Jackson in it.
Super.
So,
weird.
Yeah, I'm.
Interesting times here in 2020.
Yeah. Who knows?
Okay, so on that awkward note, we didn't know what was coming out when. We'll leave it there for now. Head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. Just search for Cinema Geekly. Hit subscribe. And Glenn and I are going to go watch some movies, and hopefully we'll see some good ones. Hopefully I end up going to see a movie that is scheduled to come out when I have placed to come out. You won't see me in line, thanks to Glenn, standing out waiting for Godzilla versus Kong in a couple of weeks, not realizing that it didn't open until November. We'll get our acts together, for sure. We'll come back, we'll talk more movies and news on another Cinema Geekly podcast.